If you're an RIA or looking to become one, Schwab Advisor Services is the Watson to your homes. Smart, dependable, always has your back. It's no mystery why they're the number one choice for RIAs who want to be the ultimate solution for their clients. With all the wealth services, technology, and support your firm needs, the difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Follow the clues at schwabvious.com.
Hello, hello.
Yes, yes, yes.
We are back.
Yes, indeed. A year older, a year wiser.
I'm not a year older. Well, I guess I'm
more,
a year older.
More handsome.
You're talking about handsome? Are you a year older?
Every day.
Okay.
I'm a little more handsome.
You're not a year older.
Okay.
And the handsome is relative, but it only matters how you feel about yourself.
Wiser?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. How you making out?
I'm great. I am great. Yeah. Fully recovered at this point from all birthday shenanigans.
Okay.
So I'm back in regular life. Back to work as normal.
Okay.
What birthday?
Disgruntled.
I'm never disgruntled.
Angry.
Never.
Okay.
We don't have a single employee that would describe me as angry or disgruntled.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. So I'm actually glad to be back to work.
Really?
The birthday shenanigans were just extensive and went on. A little bit out of control, yeah. Went on a little bit too long.
I was going to say that, but...
It was a lot of travel.
I'm a hater if I say that.
Yeah, correct. I have to say it for myself. There was a lot of travel. There was a lot of partying. It is now time for me to get back to being a responsible individual.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to be back.
Okay. Glad to have you back. So summer's going well for you?
Sure. Summer's going well. So even though birthday shenanigans are over, there's still so much more, so many more shenanigans I have going.
Yeah.
So I am, summer is going well. It will continue to go well. I'm riding this summer till the wheels fall off.
Okay.
And then I'm going to chill.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to, since you took off most of the summer, I'm going to take off a little bit too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to do a little travel, kick it a little bit, try to see what it's like to live the life of Tiffany Hawkins, but on a budget.
I have a budget. My travel budget may be a little bit different, but I have a budget.
Okay.
Are you going to get to the airport on time?
Of course. You know, I listen to our travel recommendations.
How about
keenly.
That shady luggage you got?
Ordered some new luggage.
There you go.
Found a nice price.
All right.
Amazon Prime is my friend.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. You ordered your luggage off Amazon?
No comment.
Okay. All right.
No comment.
There you go.
Okay. I am a shareholder, by the way, so.
That has nothing to do with the luggage.
I can't confirm nor deny.
Okay. Okay. Just if I ever could make a recommendation, you might just want to purchase luggage from people who specialize in luggage. I don't know. You know, it just helps in the longevity of the luggage experience, especially for someone who seems to not thrive in the luggage department.
Yeah. I don't expect a malfunction this time. I'll put it that way.
All right.
Okay. So cool. So what are we talking about today, Tiffany?
Not luggage, not travel. We're just talking about what's happening in the world, what's happening in the market. I feel like it's been a while since we've just kind of had a temperature check on what's happening amidst everything that we're hearing in the news, all the slander, all the inflation, all the things. Like, just a general sit down and let's talk about what's actually happening right now.
Yeah, yeah, because I tell you, when you turn on the news or read the newspaper, it's pretty consistent. Like, everybody is talking about a recession. Everyone expects that the world is not going to end, but that things are getting bleak. I mean, it's funny. I've been having a huge argument with people on Facebook, like people that I actually don't even know. I know you're like, why would you argue with these people?
Exactly.
It's my job, first of all.
Whose job?
To argue with people.
That is not your job.
On social media. It's my part-time job.
Yeah? When did you take this job? And how much are you getting paid for this job?
4 years ago.
4 years ago?
Yeah, satisfaction. I get paid in satisfaction.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like some of the things I've argued like to death over was when folks were saying slavery was a choice. That was part of my job, was defending that.
Okay, that's fair.
Part of my job was...
And who were you defending it to?
The black community.
Okay.
Yeah, as a whole.
You okay?
Yeah, it was not a
you
choice.
You against the black community as
no,
a whole?
No, I'm defending the black community.
Okay.
Okay.
All
right. So right now, someone on my timeline right now is saying that things are so bad, we're going to have a housing collapse that's worse than what we saw in 2007.
Okay, and housing collapse?
I'm like, I'll bet you a dollar we don't.
Yeah.
And so he's sending me stuff all the time of like, just bad news. And you could always find some
I was getting ready to say, I don't think people, I hope you guys understand that literally you can find news that aligns with any thought. Does it make it correct? Does it make you correct? Does it make the news source valid? It doesn't mean that it makes any more sense. But in today's day and age, between social media, fake news, and just media propaganda, you literally can find something that supports everything, no matter if it's nonsense or not.
And there's some people, like there's an economist that they call Dr. Doom. And no matter what day of the year...
Why would you voluntarily listen to a dude named Dr. Doom?
See, the issue is when, like, you bring out Dr. Doom when people are already worried. Like, he's saying the same thing he's always saying, but, like, you bring him out when it's time to worry. So
again,
now he's right.
Question, why would you listen? Just, I don't care what you... Why would you voluntarily want to listen to a guy named Dr. Doom? Who, again, I'm sure self-prescribed, he has named himself Dr. Doom. Why are you like, that's exactly the type of person I want to be listening to? I'm looking for the doom.
Yeah, I don't think you should listen to him. But, you know, like they say, a broken clock is right twice a day. You know what
I'm saying?
Okay.
Well, where's Dr. Wealth?
Yeah.
Dr. Success?
Maybe that's us.
Okay. Dr. We made it.
Yeah.
We gonna be all right. Doctor, we gonna be all right. Is that Kendrick Lamar?
Perhaps
I don't know.
No, I think
but it Dr. Doom.
Tiffany and Allen.
You should be put out of business at this point.
Yeah.
But so let's talk about what's happening in the market.
Yeah. So first we've got to give some attention to the negative stuff. And this show is not about the negative stuff. This show is about the bright side. But here's some of the things that folks are worried about. They're worried about inflation, especially around the rise in the prices of food and energy.
Listen, inflation, they're wilding.
Yeah. Inflation's high.
Jerome is wilding now.
They're worried about Jerome Powell raising interest rates.
Again.
Yeah, Jerome is, you know.
He needs to go on vacation. You and I have been on a lot of vacation.
Yeah.
He needs to take a couple weeks off.
Yeah.
Take your finger off that button, bro.
He needs a good, like, maybe a music festival, maybe like a jazz fest.
No, I know.
House music festival.
Absolutely not.
Or something.
Because if he sees people out spending too much money, he's going to feel the need to raise rates. Well, he needs to be out of this country. Focus on what other people are doing.
Maybe Jerome needs some love and affection.
Mm.
That could help him.
Hopefully, but he doesn't need to be around people.
Bit.
Not at a festival. They're buying vendors. Ticket prices are high. He's going to be like, oh, no. Slow this down.
Yeah.
Raise these rates.
So people are worried about the supply chain issues that are causing shortages across the world.
Very real issue.
Russia, Ukraine is still an issue. And then the big thing is, like, are we going to fall into a recession?
Yes.
Right? And so, look, we may be heading to a recession. We don't know. But our goal today is to kind of talk about the news that no one's talking about. And that's the positive information around our economy, around your investments that you may be overlooking if you're getting all of your news from CNBC and the Wall Street Journal. So the first thing I'll say is that the stock market is predicting a recession. But the stock market predicting a recession is like the old adage goes that the stock market has predicted 20 out of the last 10 recessions. Like,
yeah.
Meaning it's always kind of predicting a recession.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it's always right. In fact, the stat goes that the stock market is correct in predicting a recession about 56% of the time. So just about almost a coin toss.
Yeah. And I think, again, I think you also need to understand what a recession actually is, like the formal definition of a recession, because I think we oftentimes assume like recession just means falling apart, just horrible, as low and as bad as it can be, right? Formally, the definition of a recession is just kind of like the market's been down for 2 quarters.
Yes, 2 consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth.
Now, what if growth was ridiculously high,
mm-hmm.
and it came down 2% one quarter, 3% another quarter.
Recession.
Recession.
Doom, gloom.
Doom and gloom.
Let's bring out Dr.
life
Dr.
ain't
Doom.
Yeah, life ain't working out. That's the formal definition of a recession. When you hear about it on CNBC and in the news, that is what they are talking about. They're not, it's not, it doesn't have to be a down a minimum of 25%, minimum of 60%, just down, down two times, down 2 quarters in a row.
6 months. Yeah. Dr. Doom, by the way, his name is Nouriel Roubini. Mm. And he was a professor at Stern at NYU when I was there.
He's still there. You're smiling about this. I know you went to Stern, but like, holla at your boy. So I don't think this is exciting.
I got a degree in Doom.
Yeah, but I think, again, I think we need to kind of set the precedence of what a recession is. Formal definition of a recession, down two quarters in a row. It doesn't matter how down.
Yeah.
Half a percent down.
Yeah, one more time like that.
Recession.
Yeah, and so... You know, the issue right now with the stock market is that the market's down. The stock market in the U.S. is down about 20%. Small cap stocks, which are the smaller companies, they're down a little more. They're down like 23%.
But can I just say something? And this is just my own personal perspective.
Please do, Tiffany.
Prior to this potential recession, the stock market was up.
Oh.
Insanely.
Yeah. Oh, big time.
Irrationally up.
Yeah, people made some money now.
Okay, and so like it coming down now doesn't necessarily mean this is a bad thing. It could be a correction. Maybe we're getting more balance into where we should be. I know, again, it's still defined as a recession, but I think we're just trying to set or give some context around why it doesn't have to feel like, or why you don't have to subscribe to just the impending doom and gloom around this particular thing.
So let's talk about this bear market that we're in. A bear market really is anytime the stock market drops by 20% or more.
Okay.
That's a bear market.
Because bears have anything to do with 20%. But I got it.
Bears fight, they swipe down.
Because we've all been around a bear fighting. We've all fought a bear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, for those who have, they understand.
That bears fight down.
They swipe down when they fight.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really three types of bear markets, right? And when I say types, I mean, we've studied every bear market going back to the early 1900s. And we've been able to categorize these bear markets. And the three types are an event-driven bear market. That's like a small bear. That's like a little, I don't know, like Pooh.
Okay, Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
Winnie the Pooh doesn't fight at all.
But if he did,
Winnie the Pooh's he would fight
down. He fights the bees off the honey. He don't want to get stung by a bee. So he would swipe down.
Okay.
So an event-driven bear market is kind of like what we just went through with COVID. Right? It's a stock market that dropped by more than 20%, but it bounced back really, really quickly.
Yeah. It's a direct response to something very specific that happens.
Yeah. Next, you've got a cyclical bear market. A cyclical bear market like happens as a part of the normal economic cycle. It happens every couple of years.
Maybe ups and downs.
Every 10 years, you get one cyclical bear market.
Yeah. Every day can't be a sunny day.
Yeah. Okay. And then the big worrisome ones, this is like the grizzly bear. That would be like a structural bear market. A structural bear market is when there is something fundamentally broken in the economy. Like examples of structural bear markets would be, you know, when the housing bubble burst and we had a major, major housing crisis that lasted more than 2 years. Like that's an example of a structural, like there's a major imbalance, like something is broken.
Maybe oil and gas prices.
Yeah, but like it's broken. Like ain't coming back.
These gas prices are broken.
Yeah.
It's broken. They're gonna come back, God willing. But right now they are broken.
Yeah, they're messed up. Okay. So like that third bear is what like the worrisome folks are really expecting. It's like we're in one of these deep long-term and so when you look at these three different bears, like the event-driven bear usually lasts about 8 months or so. The market goes down about 29%. Okay, the cyclical bear, which is what we think we're in, it usually lasts about 2 years. And we're talking about the bear market in stocks. It lasts about 2 years. The market goes down about 31%. And then the grizzly bear, the big structural bear, the thing like what we saw in 2007, that's a much longer experience, 42 months almost. You know, that's almost...
Almost 4 years.
Almost 4 years. And in that case, the stock market goes down by about 60%. So what we're calling for, again, we're saying, number one, the stock market is about 50-50 when it comes to predicting recessions. And the type of bear market we're experiencing in the stock market, we think is kind of a middle-of-the-road bear market that could last about 2 years, maybe less. Who knows?
Bigger picture, though, in all of these bears, in small, medium, and grizzly bears. Honestly, if I was a grizzly bear, I'd be offended. Like, Stop putting...
Leave me out of it.
Put some respect on my name. Like, I haven't done anything
like,
to
I'm
you
housing
people.
Stuff, though.
But
like,
either
I'm
way, with all of these bear markets, right, or potential bear markets, we always recover. And if you've been listening to our show for a very long time, when we talk about investing, right, investing versus trading, investing is a long-term play.
Facts.
And so if things are going to be down for a year, 2 years, maybe even 4 years, that should be baked into your investment strategy. You should have planned to keep your money in the market for this amount of time at a minimum anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, things are happening. And I've said this several times before, and I'm going to say it again. Stocks have to go down for you to be able to make money.
I'm going to write that down. Hold on, say it again.
Okay? Like, you can't make money in the stock market if prices don't go down. If the stock market doesn't go down and then come back up.
Yeah.
So you've got to be in for the down and the up.
Yeah.
In order to make money.
The gospel song goes, we fall down.
Oh my gosh.
But we get up.
Correct.
Yeah.
But if you fall down and then leave, yeah. You can't get up.
Yeah. Somebody was asking me recently, you know, we were doing just a talk. Our firm manage 401k plans for, I mean, we do a lot of financial planning things, but we manage 401k plans for companies. And one of the participants asked, one of the employees asked, you know, how do I avoid some of the major damage that's happening in the market right now? And I said, look, the damage is not that the stock market's going down. The damage is if you sell right now.
Word.
Like, now you're creating long-term structural damage.
Yeah, literally, it's like if you bought a house to live in. You plan on living in this house.
I need somewhere to live.
You need somewhere to... You love the house. You bought a house that you really
nice
like.
House.
And all of a sudden, housing prices go down.
Mm-hmm.
You got word that your house is now worth $100,000 less. And you decide, I got to leave this house now. You still like the house. You
yeah.
still need a place to live.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with the house. But just because you're now aware that the housing market has changed and the valuation has gone down, you move out the house and decide it's time to sell it.
Yeah.
These stocks ain't bothering you.
Or you burn the house down.
You still like these stocks.
Yeah.
You can stay in them.
Yeah.
Even if the value has gone down, it'll come back up.
Heaven forbid you buy some more.
Heaven forbid.
At a lower price.
Heaven forbid you can buy the house across the street,
mm-hmm.
same house for lower.
Yeah.
But you're like, you know what? Nah, I'm not about to do that because it costs less money now.
Yeah. And I'll let you in a little secret. We talked about these cyclical, run-of-the-mill bear markets that happen every few years. They last up to around 24 months or so. We've been in this thing for like 9 months. The market's been going down 9 months. We
Word.
Could be just about halfway there. The market typically in these markets goes down, in a bear market, goes down about 30%. We're already down 20. We could be two-thirds of the way through.
Honestly, and from my personal timeline, y'all still spending it outside. Y'all seem to be fine.
Yeah. Speaking of spending, Tiffany, inflation is making all the headlines. We just saw 9.1% just this week.
Now, here's the thing. Okay. Inflation, it's ridiculous. I personally feel it. I personally am seeing it. Hasn't slowed me down in any capacity.
What are you, like, what's the biggest impact on your life? Is it hair weave?
First of all, first listen.
Is it body reconstruction or
what?
What do they call when they get the butts done and all that?
Your
is
BBL?
That BBL? Are you
First
seeing
of all,
BBL
I'm not,
prices?
I don't have intel on
Rising?
The prices of BBL. I don't know what they were pre-inflation, post-inflation.
Botox or Botox prices?
I don't,
Rising?
Have never had Botox. I support those who get Botox. I don't okay. know the pricing on Botox.
So where are you seeing inflation?
I am seeing it at the grocery store.
Yeah.
Personally, that's really it.
So just eat less food. All right, next question.
That's not how that works, okay? I need a certain amount of nutrients. But I am personally seeing the impact of inflation, which to me is pretty wild. I think for a lot of people, when you look back like 10 or 20 years ago, you're like, dang, I remember when gas used to be a certain price. Or I remember when the slice of pizza used to be a certain price back in the day. Now I'm like, damn, last month, you know what I mean? These Brussels sprouts were only $3.99. Now yeah. it's $5.99. Like, seeing the cost of things increase so quickly in such a short period of time, it is a bit alarming. I will tell you, and this is just my own personal conspiracy theory, I don't think all this is inflation.
Okay.
I don't think all this has to do. I think people are like, taking things a little bit too hard. My people, I mean, like vendors.
Oh, yeah, they're gouging.
Yeah, they're definitely gouging.
This is a once in a lifetime opportunity for some of these companies
to just wall out
some great profits.
100%. And so,
well, you need this and it's hard to find? Oh, okay, we're going to mark that thing up.
Right, because again, inflation's up, I think, a little bit over 9%, right? My groceries is up. Easily 50%.
Are you eating 50%, 25% more?
No, not at all. Okay. So like I'm cool with the 9%. Give me the 9%. I understand. I'm getting 50%. I'm getting 40%.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's the bad side. That's what everyone's already hearing about. I was going to talk about how there are certain things that are actually going down in price right now. There are certain meaningful things.
What are these things?
Why don't we go to break? We'll come back and we'll talk about the bright side of inflation and the notion that some things are going down in price.
Just so you know, I don't subscribe to the bright side of inflation, but I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
So we are back.
Yes.
We're talking about what's happening in the market.
The bright side.
Alan believes there's a bright side to inflation. I want to hear about it.
Okay.
Because I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. Would you believe that airline prices have dropped by about 2%?
I almost cursed at you. Because they're not. In my airlines, my flights.
Well, you started flying first class more often. That doesn't count.
It
if you were
count.
Flying like first class a year ago, it's down 2%.
It's not. I'm telling you for a fact.
I've literally
been looking at flights all week for a trip that I have later this year. And flight prices are unrealistic compared to what they used to be.
Well, look, compared to like during the depths of COVID, yes, flight prices are higher.
They were like $3 back then.
Yeah. Compared
now,
to the depths of
like
COVID.
It's like a million. It's $1 million for you to go to Detroit right now.
Whatever.
If you're trying to get to Cleveland.
Here you go.
It's easily $750,000.
From January until today, prices on airline fares across the board are down.
Alan's talking about.
Thank you very much.
He's talking about Spirit and Frontier.
Oh my
God. He's not talking about real carriers.
You know what else is down?
Chairs, snacks, and bathrooms.
Smarty pants. You know what else is down? Hotel prices. Hotel prices are down 3%. Thank you kindly.
I think I believe that.
Yeah.
But these flights aren't down.
Okay. Your rent might be high. Go live in a hotel.
No.
Okay. No. That's not the advice.
That's definitely not the advice.
Other things that are down, would you believe that smartphone prices have dropped by 20%?
Yeah, I'm indifferent to that. Like, we're not buying smartphones every year or
every month. It's still good.
By the time I need a new smartphone, it's going to be back up.
Would you believe TV prices are down?
Which smartphones are you talking about also? Because you're not talking about iPhones.
It's just smartphones.
Exactly.
Smart ones.
Arbitrary smart. Every phone.
The smartest ones.
No. The smartest ones.
Down 20%.
iPhones aren't down. What are the other? I don't know the Android phones. Is Google has a phone?
Android.
Clearly, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm a part of the iPhone.
20% down. Televisions?
Yeah, because no one's buying television.
Down 13%, Tiffany.
Television should
13% is meaningful.
Television shouldn't be more than $100 at this point.
But here's what I'm highlighting.
70-inch screen television should be $150 at this point.
What I'm highlighting is that technology is very counter to inflation because technology tends to get cheaper over time.
Well, the people making televisions need to make a plane because these flights are not down in any capacity. And it's unreal. Seriously. Like, I'm looking at a flight that...
Bora Bora prices haven't gone down, okay? Why don't you go to Cleveland or something?
Bora Bora.
Why don't you go to like somewhere like Detroit? Stop trying to go fancy.
It's not Bora Bora. I have two. Yes, they are
go
international
to Charlotte.
Flights.
I yeah, see what I'm saying? Check out Charlotte flight prices right now.
Listen, And the prices really are egregious.
Yeah, because you're going to another country. The dollar is strong. They got to make up for
it. No, the fact that the dollar is strong, it should be cheaper for me.
Oh, my gosh. Technology is making things cheaper. Okay. Like the other day I was at a restaurant.
Put smartphones on the plane and bring the price down.
Oh, my God. This restaurant had a robot delivering the food instead of a waiter bringing it out.
Yo, I would gladly take a robot on a plane rather than a stewardess.
Yeah.
Flight attendant. That's what they're called now. Flight attendants, not stewardess. That's old school.
You're racist.
That's like
sexist.
Pan Air.
Yeah, I think you're sexist. Okay. All.
Flight attendant.
Cute stewardesses. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah, they're not nice. Yeah. So put a robot on the plane, bring the price down.
Okay. Other bright side. So the Fed raising rates to fight inflation. And the big question is, will the Fed push us into a hard landing or a soft landing? Think about a plane landing, like, you know, like the smooth landing, like, oh, I didn't even notice we landed, versus the hard landing is like, oh my God, everybody, seatbelts on. If the air thing comes, put it on your face.
Have you seen this video from the recent Spirit plane landing?
No.
Where the plane landed, but as it landed, the brakes caught on fire?
Dang. Not a good advertisement for Spirit at all.
So that's a hard landing.
Yeah.
Okay, you're coming down.
That'd be a hard-ass landing.
And the brakes catch on fire. So you're down, but you're not out yet. Like, it's not, you're not safe.
And the flight attendant hit her head and is unconscious. So she can't make the announcement.
Right at now. All.
Or he or she.
Exactly.
Yeah. But do you know that next year it's expected the Fed is going to be cutting interest rates again? They're raising them now. Jerome's going ham right now. But in less than a year, we might start seeing interest rates start to go down.
So I just have something to say about all of this. And I don't know why no one identifies it this way. I feel like we are definitely not addressing the elephant in the room.
Okay.
This shit is toxic. The whole shit is toxic. Like, we're up, we're down. We don't know if we're coming or we're going. We don't know if we can afford the food. Oh, now the food's on sale. Like, it's a roller coaster. Just being an American citizen, just trying to purchase consumer
just
goods
to make
at this
it.
Point.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. Like, I think there seriously are people concerned that they will not be able to afford just, like, common goods. For no reason, though. Just because someone's concerned that we're just doing a little bit too much.
Well, guess what, Tiffany?
Does Jerome have a committee?
Yeah, there's a committee.
Because I feel like he just makes these decisions by himself and he just sends them out in a text message.
There's a regional,
like, we up today.
No, there's regional Fed chairmen in all the major cities. They come together and they have a Fed meeting of
Do
all
Do y'all know y'all's Fed
cities.
Person in y'all region? Because if you do, talk to them.
Yeah, there's a black woman on the Fed.
Where?
I forget which city, but she's black. She's a woman.
Probably like Atlanta.
She's on there. I don't know where she's from, Tiffany, but, you know, she's on the Fed. She's a Fed governor now.
I'm positive she's on our side.
Yeah.
She's
is. But in a year, the Fed's going to be
or not. Like,
it's
all
rates.
Speculation.
No, but what it speaks to is the notion that right now we've got a problem and the Fed is going extra ham to, that means hard as a mug, to,
oh my
for those who don't like to use acronyms and
oh
not
my
explain
gosh.
It, hard as a mother.
I've never heard this acronym.
Ham?
I know I've used the term ham. I didn't know it came with an acronym.
Kanye has
Kanye.
The song Ham.
Oh my God. First of all, we were using ham before Kanye. So whatever
we
he decides
not.
To add to it is irrelevant.
No, we were not.
Here's the thing. And this is why this is a toxic relationship. Clearly the Fed wants us to do something very specific. You only want us to spend a certain amount, spend at a certain pace. Just tell us what you want for you to just keep things the way that they are. It's so reactive. Just say, listen, y'all don't spend too much this month in this pace.
Yeah.
Tell us what you want.
Well, what they
we'll
really,
fall in line.
What they really
keep
want,
the prices where they are.
What they really want is for folks to, they want to slow down consumer demand. Like folks going out, buying all the stuff, they want it to slow down a little bit. Because our economy.
Why is that any of your business?
Our economy is 2/3 based on consumer spending. And so
we
people,
like to spend. We like to buy things.
But that's the issue. There's
mind
not enough,
your business.
There's not enough stuff to buy.
We
clearly, so now they got to raise the prices.
There is enough stuff to buy. We're ordering online. We're buying things internationally. So you don't even have to import it because we're going to order it directly from Italy ourselves.
Fine. Okay.
So mind your business. And y'all are raising minimum wage and salaries are going up. So we got the money.
Yeah.
We got the money. We're ordering it online. Stay out of it.
Okay. Well, they're not going to stay out of it. But the funny thing about going back to the bright side, the Fed is trying to fight inflation, but some of the inflation they can't even fight. They can't even fix. For example, used cars. Used cars are going for thousands and thousands of dollars over their book value.
That
right
has
now.
Nothing to do with inflation.
That's, the Fed has nothing to do with that.
That has to do with the car dealership And again, a lot of these companies, and I know we're being making light of this, but a lot of these companies and these vendors and these industries are taking advantage, and they are being extremely opportunistic and blaming it on inflation.
Yeah, facts. Shortages of things that can't get to the country because of Russia, Ukraine, like the Fed could raise rates all he wants, and there's nothing that they can do to fix that. And so what I'm getting at is that the Fed is focusing on trying to push inflation down. There's some things that they can't fix that are just going to need time to get fixed in general. Like, we need to produce more cars. We need some jokers that have cars right now to sell them. And that'll help with the car prices.
Again, the epitome of not minding your business. You're not about to tell me to sell my car if I don't
sell
need
it.
To sell my car.
Sell it. We
like,
need it. The market
honestly,
needs it.
Honestly, America is very nosy is what I'm really picking up on our conversations.
Yeah.
We're spending too, oh, you buying too many things. Oh, sell your car. Buy a new car. How about mind your business? Again, Jerome, put your business in the street.
Oh, my God.
Get on social media. Jerome, get on social media. Post your kids. Post your house, your wife.
Oh, my God.
I want to know what y'all eat at the cookout.
You really don't like this man.
I think these decisions, I mean, seriously, like the system as a whole, it's quite nosy. And it has an issue with things that have nothing to do with them. If I got the money to buy things, let me buy things. And if they can make it to my house, mind your business. And if I like my old car and I don't want to sell it, it's not my fault that these other organizations or these dealerships are using this as an opportunity to be like, we don't have any cars. Let me do me.
That's it. I'm raising interest rates.
Exactly.
I don't want to hear this no more. 100 basis points. Basis points is really just percentage points,
yes.
But it sounds cooler. So when they say 25 basis points, they're talking about a quarter of a percent.
Yeah, 0.25%.
100 basis points is 1%.
Yes.
Yeah, but I'd rather say basis points.
No.
Jokers really think that you are smart when you say basis points.
No, they just think you're doing too much.
Yeah, no. How many basis points is a tip?
Like 20,000 basis points. 20,000 basis points.
That was good service. I'm going to give them 1,000 basis points.
10%. This whole financial industry, honestly, like this whole financial industry, these terms, the unnecessary jargon, it really is to invoke concern, which moves the market.
Yeah, like
that's
they're like the Dow's up 100 points.
Yeah.
It's like $100. Like it's like Jordans are up 25 points today. Like that means they cost $25 more.
Yeah.
They're just trying to confuse. But either way, so other good news. These are things that you're not seeing.
I still haven't heard any of the good news yet.
TVs are cheaper.
TVs should be cheaper. We're about to stop even buying TVs.
The Fed's going to be cutting rates next year.
We don't know if that's true. Jerome might quit.
The stock market doesn't always predict recessions accurately.
Which means you're just lying. The stock market can't be trusted.
These are all good things. Some things the Fed can't fix, so...
Sounds unfixable.
It's going to get fixed on its own. So other things. So consumers are in a really strong position right now. This is very different
than
a lot of...
Until the Fed gets involved.
This is
until Jerome finds out.
Oh, my gosh. I'm trying to give a positive show.
Thing, when y'all buy stuff, don't put your real name on it.
Let's take Tiffany's mic off
for a second. Don't put your real name on it because Jerome is watching.
Okay. Consumers are in a strong position.
Put it in your kid's name.
Would you believe, Tiffany, at the end of March, consumer households had $18.5 trillion in their savings accounts combined. And that's more. That's $5 trillion more than they had going into the pandemic. So they had $13 trillion, which was already high. Now they've got $18.5 trillion cash.
What they don't tell you is $17 trillion all came from Elon Musk.
Oh
so this isn't even really spread fairly.
Okay. No, I'm
the
gonna,
other.
I've got the
other
stats.
Trillion
Hold on. I've
was
got,
Mackenzie Scott.
I've got the stats. Okay. And the reason why there's so much cash, we've had multiple rounds of stimulus checks. We've had PPP loans, some of which were given out.
Squandered.
Well,
squandered.
Some were scammed. Okay. And forgiven. We had people that saved a lot of money during COVID, and people paid off a lot of debt.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
That
so that means there's more cash available in the bank, which means if we get a recession, there's some folks with money in the bank.
I also think some people have been getting some of this student loan forgiveness. I do
Facts.
Think this has been
Tiffany
happening.
You got that?
A little bit. But yeah, so I think
Well,
this...
not forgiveness. You got a deal.
I got a deal.
They made a deal with
okay,
you.
Okay, and I took it.
So J.P. Morgan estimates that for their low-income customers, their average balance today is about $1,400 compared to $875 before the pandemic.
That's a big deal.
So they got an extra $525.
That's a big deal.
Okay, that's a positive. Now, the higher-end J.P. Morgan households have about $7,000 compared to about $4,700 before the pandemic.
Okay, so more money in the bank.
Yep. household obligations, and this would include rent, mortgage, car note, insurance, and other recurring monthly household bills, currently averaging about 14% of household income compared to 18% in 2007.
That is actually a very meaningful statistic. So that's exciting to hear.
Yeah, and that's because what did folks do? They refinanced their mortgages when rates were low. Tiffany, you
Word.
Did that.
That's me.
They paid off some credit cards, meaning less monthly payments.
Alan, that's you.
Okay. Yep. Paid off my credit cards. They might have paid off a car, like, you know, and stopped and didn't buy a new one.
Even though you're trying to tell them to go sell it.
So what I'm getting at is that difference in household financial obligations, the decrease in the bills per month, it adds to disposable income. It adds something in the neighborhood of $550 billion to $725 billion in extra income, disposable income that doesn't have a home anymore, that doesn't have any bills associated with it. That's loot. Other things about the consumer. If we look at household net worth is, again, when you add up all your assets, you subtract your debts. On average, household net worth, 8 times your income today, compared to about 6.7 times your income in 2000 and about 6.2 times your income in the 90s.
I like where this is going. There's a little bit of the bright side happening.
Unemployment is low. We got unemployment at under 4%. Everyone that wants a job has a job.
And no, but everybody who needs a job ain't at work. So I really do need people. This whole wave of we just not working, I really need y'all to go back to work.
Yeah. And then finally, you got wages and salaries are up about 5%. So consumers are in a good position. Like if you think about, like if we are heading to a recession, folks are prepared. They're making more money. They're saving more money. Their bills are lower. They've got plenty of job choices. Even though I know we talked a few weeks ago about jobs, the job market and how folks are starting to rescind offers and things like that. Folks are ready for it on average.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm excited about this.
Is that a positive?
It's a bit of the bright side.
Yeah. Other positives, Tiffany, since, you know, you only want to be Dr. Doom today?
Not Dr. Doom, but again, like, these numbers are really good, and I'm very excited about what's happening as far as our bank accounts and our net worth and kind of like our household income and the percentages around our household expenses. These numbers are good, but these numbers would be a lot better if Jerome and inflation were off our back, is all
Facts.
I'm saying.
I believe it's
coming. Okay, like we're doing good. We could be doing great
yeah.
if jokers would mind their business.
Yeah, I believe it's coming. You know, the thing about the Fed, like they're raising interest rates. You're not going to get an immediate turnaround on inflation. Like it's going to take some time. Like we didn't get here overnight. We're not going to get out of it overnight.
Then they could stop raising rates overnight.
Yeah, I mean, in reality, they could.
Why don't they wait to see how things go?
I want them to. They're not, clearly. It was funny, like a year ago, we were saying that that Jerome was a punk. Like, he ain't about to do anything.
Yeah.
He's proven me wrong.
Yeah. So slow down.
Yeah.
We didn't mean it.
Yeah.
We were just playing, Jerome.
Jerome Powell, if you're listening, or Lisa Cook, our African-American woman on the Fed board, we sorry. We ain't mean it.
Yeah.
Please, slow down.
Chill out.
But yeah, they're meeting in July. They're talking about
they just met
75 basis points or 0.75%. Again,
yeah.
I mean, it could do 1%. They're saying
cancel the meeting. Somebody cancel the meeting.
I wish it would rain. Like, what would cause it to cancel? I guess rain. No, they probably
the power
meet
has
indoors.
To go out. The power has to go
Can
out.
Can somebody cut the power?
Power has to go out,
yeah.
And the internet's got to go down.
Yeah. More than that, I think we need maybe COVID. Maybe
no.
Somebody could get.
I mean, COVID is happening.
No, if you got one person that caught COVID, they might have to go.
Cancel the whole meeting.
Yeah.
They're just going to tell that person
Mild
not to come.
COVID.
Mild COVID. They're just going to tell that person not to
then
come.
Then they won't have a
People
quorum.
Don't even care about COVID anymore. It's like, oh, I got COVID.
No, people are starting
I'm
to wear masks.
To the store.
They're starting to wear masks again.
But the hysteria around it isn't what it was at one point. It's just like, literally, so I threw a birthday party. We've already talked about it. 3 people came down with COVID prior to my party. And so they called me like, yeah, I'm thinking I probably shouldn't come. Where before it was like, I can't come. I won't leave the house. I'm masked up. I hope I survive. Pray for me. It's like, yeah, I got COVID. I'm going to probably stay home. I was like, yeah. You're definitely going to stay home. But it wasn't as big of a deal.
But COVID is another positive right now.
What?
In the sense that Most of the world is vaccinated. We've got new vaccines that just got approved from Novavax.
Yeah, Novavax has a new vaccine that works differently from the other vaccines.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be really good for these new...
unvaccinated.
Well, the new variants, I was going to say. There's new B5s and L22s. There's all these new variants that the Novavax vaccine is supposed to be good for it. Okay. So another positive that folks are overlooking. And then next, I know we got to go to break, but we should talk about corporate earnings for a sec. You know, we're in earnings season. That's that time of year when companies are saying how they've done, how
their sales are. If they made money or if they didn't make money.
And, you know, I think it's actually pretty good so far.
So let's talk about it when we come back. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Hi, this is Donnie Rose, Chief Content Editor here at The North Star, encouraging you to check out thenorthstar.com every day for insightful, engaging commentary on the stories that impact our culture. The writers at The North Star make it our mission to advocate, mobilize, agitate, and disrupt in the name of creating liberation-centered content. We unapologetically center the narratives of Black, Brown, and Indigenous people. We understand that you can get news from anywhere, so we are more interested in offering perspective that speaks to the experiences of our audience. We write freely and with freedom on our minds. We invite you to indulge in our daily editorials and engage in the dialogue that will change the world.
Momentum.
So we're back, and you still have optimistic things to say about inflation and the market?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So before the break, we were talking about all the wonderful things that are going on.
About all the wonderful.
So many great things.
A couple of things.
That folks aren't really paying attention to, and one of them is earnings. So we're right at the beginning of earnings season. Earnings season is the chance for public companies to really talk about the revenue that they've made, the profits that they've made, and also to give guidance. Guidance is like the expectations of what's to come. And some of the first companies this quarter to report earnings were some of the banks. And the big headline was that JP Morgan and Morgan Stanley had bad earnings. And so the narrative is that, oh, all the companies are going to have bad earnings. And in reality, they really weren't that bad. So here's a little breakdown of JP Morgan. So their sales were up 1%. Okay, that's good. Their sales actually rose. And
let's just be clear. Most people don't know what sales of a bank are.
Yeah, sales of a bank, it's ATM fees.
Yeah, overdraft fees.
It's interest income, like when you made a loan on credit cards or mortgages. It's
bank fees.
Yeah, all kind of fees. They're an investment bank also. So when they take companies public and do mergers and acquisitions, all that stuff rolls into a bank's income statement.
Yeah.
And their revenue is up. Like despite everything that everyone's talking about, despite the Fed raising interest rates, their revenue is up. Now their profits dropped.
Yeah, expenses are up too.
Yeah.
So basically they're feeling everything that we're feeling. You know, a lot of things that we're feeling as consumers, companies are feeling as well. Things that are more expensive for us are also more expensive for them.
So their profits dropped from almost $12 billion down to $8.7 billion.
God forbid.
Oh no, they only made $8.7 billion in profit in 90 days.
Off your overdraft fees.
Yeah. So a little bit worse, maybe worse than what they would have liked to make.
Maybe we're glad that it's worse. Maybe it's a little bit of hateration for JP Morgan anyway.
Yep, absolutely. So earnings, we don't think are going to be quite as bad. Other things that we're seeing that I think are positive, the dollar is super strong. The euro, by the way, is under $1 right now.
So this is a bright spot for me because I just came back from France. And I balled out when it came to shopping in France, specifically because the euro wasn't as strong as I was expecting. Like the dollar was super strong. So things that, one, were already lower in price because I was in Europe, but then like thinking about the markup or the conversion in rate didn't apply because the dollar was so strong, I did my thing.
Yeah, so that's a good thing. So when the dollar is strong, by the way, what the world is saying is that we want to put our money in countries where they've got really good growth rates and where there's really strong interest rates. And that's true for the United States, is that even though the world is slowing down, even though the U.S. is possibly going towards a recession, the global market is saying, out of all the different countries, we kind of like the U.S. right now, especially better than Europe, which is dealing with Russia and Ukraine.
Yeah, and we're dealing with Roe versus Wade. So, I mean, like, we really
yeah.
shouldn't pat ourselves on the back, but so hard.
Yeah,
we got our own shit going on over here.
Yeah, I mean, of the shortest people in the of a room full of short people, we're the tallest. That's what they're saying.
I wouldn't agree. Good. I think we're standing on a step. I think we're lying.
So other good things. So, you know, the guy I've been arguing with online, who I don't even know his name, by the way, who I bet
$1. You're getting mad credit right now. Go for it.
This guy, he bet me that housing was going to really tumble. And interest rates have gone up a lot. Like, interest rates have gone up from like 2 or 3% to now over 6%.
Ridiculous.
That's like almost triple in a matter of less than a year. And yet, housing prices haven't dropped. In fact, in May, we just hit a record average housing price in the United States of $407,000.
Yes. In my private ecosystem, I have seen housing prices drop. So I have been looking at housing in a particular market in the DMV area. And a lot of houses that I definitely thought were overpriced are now coming down considerably, like $40,000, $60,000.
So in percentage terms, so these are houses that are listed for sale. These aren't actual sales prices, first of all.
Listed for sale.
Yeah. So the listing prices may have gone down. So one of the other things that's happening—
because y'all were wilding to begin with.
Yeah. So people have been listing prices at super aggressive levels, and now they've got to be a bit more realistic. But the prices where deals are getting done, it's still higher than where they were a year ago, higher than earlier this year. But houses are becoming more available. Like, Realtor.com just announced that they've got 21% more listings than they had a year ago.
I will also say, on my own personal search, houses are staying on the market a bit longer than they were before. Before, it was just kind of like the wild, wild west. Now, I'm seeing houses stay around. These listings are up for a bit longer.
Yeah. PayPal Tiffany's buying another house, by the way.
That's not what I'm saying.
He said you're looking for another.
It's research. Okay. I'm just doing some research. All right,
fine. Tiffany's researching more homes to buy.
That's not okay? true.
For her own personal self. Not... that she could live in multiple places at once.
That's not what I'm saying.
Okay. But houses are becoming more available, which means that for somebody who was getting outbid earlier this year or a year ago.
Come back. Bounce back. If you were getting pushed out trying to buy a home earlier this year, maybe late last year, it's your time. Really, honestly, resurface.
Now, mortgage rates are a little higher. So you might need to look at an adjustable rate mortgage with a 5-year lock period as opposed to a traditional 30-year fixed loan. But, you know, there's more houses to buy. And the prices, again, are starting to get a little softer, which is a good thing. Again, now we start looking at other financial areas. We talked about stocks being down 20%. Bonds are down 10%, which is also a really, really big deal. We haven't seen this since the 1800s. The bond market dropped by this
much. We haven't seen this since the 1800s. Right. None of us have seen
Never,
this.
Ever seen
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah, you don't remember it?
Plus, right. they probably was lying.
Yeah. So when bonds are losing value, that means that the yields are going up. Meaning, like, if I've got some cash to invest, I can now get a much better rate of return or rate of interest as an investor. That's a good thing. Other things going on, we've got cryptocurrencies are dropping
all
like crazy.
All over the place. Crypto is just kind of like falling apart in this moment. Now, I still do believe in the longevity of kind of blockchain and where that's going. But just for all the people who were betting it all on crypto, you are having a time right now.
Yeah, I mean, Bitcoin's down 50% this year. So for the person that always wanted to get into the crypto game and they followed all the memes and they never had a chance to get involved, I mean, hey.
But there's also a lot of these big crypto deals that are like filing for bankruptcy and just kind of like falling apart.
Yeah, there was a big crypto lender where you could stake your crypto and they went out and made investments and they paid a yield, or they used to pay a yield. Now that company has put all their clients, their customers into bankruptcy, meaning that if you had an account there, you may not get all your money back, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
And again, I'm highlighting crypto as it's negative that it dropped by 50%, but it's positive in the sense that if it's something that you believe in, now's the chance to get involved and at a much better price than a year ago. So bottom line, there's always a bright side to everything. We've broken down all the bad stuff. You see the bad stuff everywhere, but there's some good stuff out there too.
Yeah, there's also just a lot of manipulation in the language, just in the way that news is delivered. And so what we try to do is provide balance. We're not so optimistic that we don't see what's actually happening in the world. And we have those conversations, but we want to provide you with the balance, the insight, and the information that you need to know where you actually need to be worried and how worried you need to be.
Yeah, and so for those who are opportunistic, I think there's some great opportunities to buy some stuff on sale. Right.
Absolutely.
Now. And that's whether you're talking about stocks, bonds, crypto, real estate, a number of different things. And even if we do get a recession, it doesn't mean that you've got to participate.
100%.
There's a lot of ways that you can continue with your own financial plan, continue saving your own money, investing your own money, and working towards your own goals.
So hopefully we've brightened your day a little bit with all the news that's been going on, with everything that you've been hearing. Share this information with a friend also, because I do feel like so many people are panicking right now, and I don't know if you necessarily need to do that. We'll be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors.
Momentum. Momentum.